Tuesday night, Aser Shemechuva, Tovshinayin Aleph. Okay, we're making our way through this sugya, and we finished the sugya actually, so now it's time to go weiter. Tavsama Chesomar Aleph. We were in the Ran though, sort of conked out. We said, there's not enough time to do justice to the Ran. So let's go back to the top of Sama Chesomar Aleph. Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tano. That's the last posuk in the parsha of Hatoros Nedarim. Hatoros Nedarim, it says whatever it says, Osatora, whatever, something like that. What does it say? Ela Achukim Asher Tzivo Hashem Es Moshe Beinish LeIshto Beinov Levito. Thank you. Norel Beis Avia Mikan the Nair Marasa Shaviu Baylam Atir Nedarel, from the juxtaposition of Beinish LeIshto Beinov Levito. We're on the top of Daf Samachesum and Aleph. Let's see the first Ran. The Mashmalei the Benai Ramarasa Airi Medichsiv Behu Kro Benureha Beis Avia. So the drasha here ironically goes with the simple meaning of the pasuk, because the simple meaning of the pasuk is talking about a naira benurel beis avia, she's still beis avia, but the pasuk says ela hachukem asher tziv Hashem ben of levito uvein ish leishto. So what's going on? So the pashtus, of course, the simple meaning of the pasuk is that it's a summation of everything that all these psukim that were till now, like the whole parsha. Like, these are the dinim of all. But then it says, Benurel Beis Aviha. So it's talking about Beis Aviha, and she's a Naira. So Bishmol, Darsh from this pasuk, that's the din of Naira Marasa, Aviha B'Vailam Firna Dareha, of Levito and Ishla Ishto. Both. Okay, the Gemara now asks, so Latana de Be'er Bishmol, Vim Hoyo Seal Ish, my Ovid Lay. So what about that whole second parsha, and with the Vav and everything? Mukim lo le'idoch de Rava. He learns out the other din, which is Rabba or Rava. Meis ha'orus nisrok na rishus la'ov. Dama l'kamon, the Ran says, makish koid me'avoya shmi la koid me'avoya rishayna. Just a fancy way of saying the pre-kiddushin, the state of pre-kiddushin. Koid me means pre. I'm talking English now. P-R-E. Havoya Shnia means the second state of Kiddushin. So it's a funny way of saying the Koid Me Havoya Rishona just means a girl before she ever became an Arusa. That's Koid Me Havoya Rishona. Koid Me Havoya Rishona means the state that existed before she ever became an Arusa. Havoya meaning Arison. Havoya Rishona means the first time she ever became an Arusa. Koid Me Havoya Rishona means the state that existed before she ever became an Arusa. It's a fancy way of saying of Ubito, a father and a daughter. Koid Me Havoya Shnia means there was an Arus and he died. So you're now in a state, so to speak, like before a second Arison. So the Gemara makes a hekish. This drasha has a hekesh in the words v'im hoyo siya. So there's two havoyos, and we make a hekesh between one and the other. Just like in the koid me havoya rishayna, the father is made for himself. So in the koid me havoya shniya, the father is made for himself. And this is the source of the din that's called meis ha'orus. If the orus dies, Nisrokna Rishus La'ov, because of this hekesh. That's where you learn out that now the father can go be mefer the Orus's part share, the Orus's chelik of the nether as well. The reverse is not true. Mesa of Lo Nisrokna Rishus La'orus. And she's stuck. She can't get rid of the nether. I mean, she can go to a chacham and be mat there, but she can't go to.
Is that a. Married and then her husband dies?
No, she married, she never goes back to the father.
Right, I'm saying, so she has to go to Beis Din to be Mayfair?
Well, Beis Din will not be Mayfair, Beis Din will only be Matir.
Matir.
Yeah.
So they really never go away?
What?
They really never go away then?
Well, she made a net. So the Omer Kamon Makesh Kodmi Avoy Yishniya Lekodmi Avoy Yishniya Rishon. Rabbanon Sfira Lu. What do Rabbanon hold? The Tart Neshamas Mino. You can learn out both things from the pasuk. Ikar Kral the Nara Marosa the Viu Baylam Afirna Doreho. Utrain Havoyos and the fact that the words Viyam Hoyos see is repeated. Lakusha Shniya Rishona. V'chiteima, given the Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, kulei kro de moyo siya li kushe havoyos mukila, oros meitha bekodmin min ole. So how does he know the din of oros meitha bekodmin? Yishlomar de mashmalei de loy boy kro. You see how logical, it's logical. The need to meet kodmin gabe baal, hainu misum de les lo'ov. There's no, why can't a baal be meitha bekodmin? Because there's no father around, so he's alone, and the neder was made before she was in his rishus. Main lachbo al miyuta bilavad davka b'shanosad lo shayachov ein abal meifah b'koydman abal oruz the meifah b'shutfus ediyov when he's an adjunct to the father. So this is what we say. Now the Ran says it for the first time. It's totally logical. You don't even need a pasuk for it. Till now we always said it's logical, but you have a pasuk because it's not compelling. Here he says it's mamash svaradi that since the oruz is hooked up with the father, so he could be Mefer Bekodman.
There seems to be a lot of emphasis put on Rishus.
Yeah.
Okay. But what would happen in the situation that, let's say, the Baal is living with the Av? In other words, he's they're living in the same house. He's, you know.
She's in Nesua or Arusa?
Or she's in Nesua. But then isn't the issue of Rishus because she's all so if what, she starts out as a Nesua, then even as an Arusa, she's still in her to an extent her father's Rishus.
If she's in Nesua, it doesn't matter where she's living. Then the Rishus, the physical Rishus of being in the father's house, mm-hmm. is not relevant. Nesua is conceptually called Beis Isha. Nesua is conceptually Beis Isha. It doesn't have to be physically Beis Isha. They can be, you know, living with the Shver. Hello? If you need me to, call me up. Kayla, I cannot talk to you now. Call me between, listen to me. Exactly between 5 to 9 and 9 o'clock. That's your only chance to talk to me before 9:30. Okay? Okay, bye. So it's a conceptual rishus. That's why, like, I'll give you an example, though, of the idea. We create a symbolic rishus when we make a chuppah or the yichud room. So the frumis will make, usually the kala pays for the wedding. She rents the hall. The frumis will have the chasson make a kinyan both on the mokum ha-chuppah and the yichud room. And others say it's not necessary because you're not dealing with, you know, you don't need really, really his rishus. It's a conceptual rishus, and it's symbolic. The chuppah is symbolic, the yichud room is symbolic. If yichud is yichud, that's a kinyan in itself of nesuin. But some say that the chashivus and the symbolism of yichud is also that she's in his rishus.
Because so, in Perek Aleph, when we learned the Dharm from the beginning, Rishus was actually a physical Rishus, because then he's got control over it, so that's why...
It is, but... Yeah. Well, that's the point. It's conceptual. It's not physical. She is... He has control over her. They're married. She's his wife. She has to cook for him. She has to clean the house for him. He has to... So she is in his rishus. Really, be'emes. I don't call that physically, though. He doesn't have to own the house. He could set up a teepee in the desert. He doesn't own it. He doesn't have to own the house. He could be living outside. But conceptually. So it's real. It's control, as you said. And it's very real, but it's still conceptually, not physically. It doesn't have to be tangibly rishus. It's conceptually. She's Beis Isha. Like here, Vim Beis Isha Nadara. Let's say she didn't make the neder in his house. She made the neder in a restaurant. She was eating, she doesn't, right? Teretz is, and it's an important yesod. A married woman is always conceptually in her husband's house because she's under her husband's control, in his domain. The truth is that I'm going to get into trouble. Al pi Torah hashkafa, this is now my own hashkafa, but it's Torah hashkafa. Al pi Torah hashkafa, if the feminists come along and they want to deny, there's no question that in the Torah system, the woman is in the man's reshus and not vice versa. No question. Harayat mukudeshus li, harayat knuya li. The Rishonim say in Tosfos, Exodus, that beis umid beis, shel isha sode shel habal, bein habal sode shelo. There's no question she's in his reshus. Now, let me go off on that tangent for a moment. That's not a bad thing necessarily. That's not degrading to women. Adarab, it says that is what obligates him to support her. Women have it very yishmak in the Torah system. They can stay home. Okay, they have to watch the kids, clean the house. But basically, he has to support her. She doesn't have to work. Nobody tells a woman to go work. They don't have to go work. They want a career. The Torah has the husband supporting the wife. She could sit and watch television the whole day. He has to support her. He has to pay the rent. He has to buy her clothing, pay her medical bills, feed her. He has to take care of her. The being in his reshus is really protective of the women. It says that they have a protector. Women are weaker, women are not. So that's the way the Torah views marriage. I'm saying the fact that it's called she's in his reshus is not pejorative. She has to take care of her. Doesn't mean he can't sell her to someone else. He doesn't control her in that sense. He's not allowed to hit her. That was never in the Torah society, no matter how long ago. She was never considered his property. He had certain rights monetarily, but she had many more rights in him monetarily. You open a Rambam, there's three. The husband, when he gets married, gets three rights and seven responsibilities. He has monetary rights in three areas, but he incurs seven monetary obligations to his wife. But there's no question, it's not an equal partnership. She is seen that she doesn't have to work. It's not a partnership, it's clear. They don't have to, they're not doing the same things. She doesn't have to support him. He has to support her. He has to buy her clothing. She doesn't have to buy him clothing. He has to pay her medical bills. She doesn't have to pay his medical bills. It's not two equal partners. I hold, when they started being okay with that, when feminism started being okay with that, so it's not so rachok to me that the next step would be homosexual marriage. It's not so rachok, because once you've already corrupted the idea of marriage, even when it's a man and a woman. But what they made the woman into a man, or they made the man into a woman. Well, both ways, they did both. They said we're evil, so they've already corrupted the idea. This is what I hold. They've already corrupted, I'm stressing me because I'm not saying it over on anybody. I take full blame for this. They've already corrupted the idea of a marriage. It's not between a man and, the Torah's view is that it's a man and a woman, with the woman being in the reshus of the man, and he has certain obligations and certain rights, and she, and I said, hey, that's not pejorative. She has to be protected, she's weaker sex, and v'chulu v'chulu. Once you uproot that and you blur the differences between, and the whole feminism really is to, you know, no, the Torah is not again equal pay for equal work. we have no problem with. No one argues with that. That's, it's poshut like that, right? There's no, it's reflected in the whole Chesh Mishpat. Nowhere is a woman, if she can do the same job, she gets paid the same money, right? No, of course, but they, that's not what it was all about. It was about really blurring the lines between men and women. It was really a sexual thing that, like Leisulbash Gever, Leilbash, you know, it's all the same, men, women, let's all be the same. It's really, that's really what it was. But that already was Oker marriage. So I don't, it's not, like I said, it's only a skip and a hop to saying two men can be married, because why not? Like, if when a man and woman are married, it's basically like two men being married. So then the two men can always be married. So it's not normal. I don't mean to say it's normal, but it's a normal, not progression, regression.
Yeah.
It's a normal regression. Okay. Anyway. So getting back to this, how do we get off of this? Yeah. So the Ran here says clearly that the din of Baal of Orus Mefer Bekoldman is because he's hooked up with the father. So he acquires a right in the father's right. That's really what it is. He acquires a right in the father's right to be Mefer. Because always the Orus is the Johnny come lately in the picture. The father has a right to be Mefer. Now the Orus, so that's what he's saying, the Orus has a right in the father's right. Okay. We continue in the Gemara. Barabba haida toni dver Rabbi Yishmo mayovid lay. What does Rava do with the pasuk of Rabbi Yishmoel? Kloima krod dorish v'nei toni dver Rabbi Yishmoel d'tana dinei mayovid lay. This means as follows. What kind of Nadorim could the Baal be Mefer? So you may know this already, you may not know it. The Parsha in Aphoros Nadorim that we keep talking about refers really, the explicit reference is to a Neder of Inui Nefesh, where she that the nether causes her to suffer. And the 11th Perek details exactly what kind of Nadorim are said to make her suffer. If she makes a nether, she's not going to eat pomegranates. That's not nether shel inui nefesh. You know, a person does not suffer if they cannot eat pomegranates. If she says she won't eat any fruit anymore for the rest of her life, I'm not saying the lashon of a nether precisely, then already that's called Neder Eden Nefesh. But that's in the Pasuk. If you look in the Parsha, there's a reference to La'anos Nefesh. Kol Neder v'chol shvuas yisur La'anos Nefesh Yishoy yikimen v'yishoy yifarenos. It says La'anos Nefesh. So that talks about that. Now the Gemara is saying that from this last pasuk, Bein Ish L'Ishto Bein Ov L'Vito, we learn out another type of neder called Dvorim Shebeinoy L'Veino, things that affect their relationship. So, okay, so why? Because it says Bein Ish L'Ishto, between him and her. So that's two types of nedarim. He can't be Mefer, contrary to the way we're talking the whole time. You know, we just never got into it. It was not Negeah. He can't be Mefer any nether that she makes. He doesn't really have the right to any Mefer. Now, if you want to talk conceptually, which we like to talk, really, this is it's a very nice idea, because he doesn't own her. You see, we keep talking, she's in his Rishus Lagabi Nadorim. So you say, oh, any nether she makes. But that would mean that she's like, she has no autonomy whatsoever. She can't even make a nether not to eat a pomegranate. He could control that also. So the answer is, it's not true. And it makes sense. She's an autonomous person. She can make nedarim. He can't be Mefer any nether. He can only be Mefer two types of nedarim. All these things we're talking about, that he controls all the Gabi HaFaros Nadorim, it's really only two types of Nadir, which really make a lot of sense that a husband would be given this control.
But an Av can...
Whoa, no, we're going to learn the Ran. Machlokas Rishonim. So now, right? I'm explaining now, almost philosophically, conceptually and philosophically, why this is so Yishmak. Because all the time that we're talking and talking and talking about HaFaros Nadorim, it could sound like, you know, it really puts a woman in a very bad light. It says she has no autonomy, she can't even make her own decisions. The husband controls all the Gabi HaFaros Nadorim. The answer is, it's not true. We just didn't talk about it, but the context of any HaFaros Nadorim that you'll always be talking about is really very limited. It's limited to Inui Nefesh and Dvarim Shebeinoi Lebeino. Okay? Now, if you think about it, it could be that affects most Nadorim, Grado. Because a person will usually make a neder to withhold something from themselves. And, you know, no pain, no gain. So once you're making a neder, you want it to hurt. For whatever your motives are in making a neder. So you want it to hurt. You're not going to be noder from pomegranates, you know, normally. But, okay, but Lamaisa, it makes a lot of sense. Because this really is the husband's domain. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. That the woman is in pain, that she made a ned there to like torture herself. That's the literal meaning of La'anos Nafesh. Or it affects the relationship between the two, Dvarim Shebeinoi Lebeino. So of course he has a right to be made for it. That makes perfect sense. He wants a functioning wife. He doesn't want a wife that's in pain, a wife that refrains from enjoying things or eating things, or benefiting from things that causes her pain. So it makes a lot of sense, really. How far all of a sudden, when you realize that it's limited to these two types of Nadorim, all of a sudden it makes a lot more sense. It's not so chauvinistic. And he can stop being made for whatever neder she makes. It's really limited to something that makes a lot of sense that he can be made for.
It would make sense for her to be able to make for his Nadorim.
What?
It would make sense for her to be able to make for his Nadorim in that case.
That doesn't make sense because it's certainly an inyan of Rishus. And the husband is not the woman's Rishus. Vice versa, but not that. Okay, now the Ran talks about the father. V'chihechi. Right, so we're in the middle size lines. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 lines down. It's after a dot. V'chihechi, just like. The Baal Eino Mefer Benidre Ishto El Advarim She'esh Bem Inui Inui Udvarim She'beinoi Leveino Achinami Ov Eino Mefer Benidre Bitoi El Elu Bilavad. That's the Ran Shita. Now, we're going to deal with psukim now. The truth is, conceptually, if you want to step back and think in Svara, I could hear Inui Nefesh. But Beinoi Leveino, to me, is weird. Because Beinoi Leveino is a concept by a husband and a wife. By a father and daughter, what do you mean it affects their relationship? Let's say she makes another, she's not going to put on makeup. So the father, the husband, you know, that's Beinoi Leveino, he likes when she wears makeup. So that affects him. So he can be made for it. But a father, I don't understand the idea. It's going to be psukim. But there's no real Beinoi Leveino by a father and daughter. I don't know maybe it's not makeup, Enochanami. The nature of Beinoi Leveino is if she makes an edit, she's not going to serve him supper. I don't know. Like, you need their own Beinoi. It's not going to be the same Beinoi Leveino as the husband, that's for sure. Why is Beinoi Leveino the father? I don't know.
Father is protective of his daughter, and he's trying to look out for her best interest, even though she may not see it, and that would affect him.
I'm not bothered by why he can be made for Inui Nefesh. You just explained Inui Nefesh. He's looking out for her best interest, blah, blah, blah. But Beinoi Leveino means it affects their relationship. Who said a father has to have, like, what? What's the
Nedder?
I guess it's not the same benoil benoil as the husband, I'm sure. It's not if she has to wear makeup. I don't know. What benoil benoil? She makes a neder that she's not going to... Somehow she works on a neder, she's not going to... not going to listen to him. She's not going to serve him breakfast if he wants. I'm going to bring him a cup of coffee. I don't know. I guess it's something like that. Let's see the Ran. But the Ran deals with Psukim from here on in, really. He doesn't deal with the Svara. We're talking about Svara. Right, so she'll work it out. It wouldn't be against the Torah, I assume. I don't know. I'm admitting I don't know what Benoit Levino would be. I don't even... Even if I would figure out what Benoit Levino would be, I'm bothered by a deeper question. And I'm telling you, why does a Torah... I can understand that a Baal is given the right to be Mayfair, the Dorim of his wife, that's Benoit Levino, because their relationship is affected. And the Torah doesn't want their relationship to be affected. The father-daughter, like, who cares? Like, why is there even a concept of Benoit Levinoah with a father and daughter? Unless you say, yeah, the Torah wants parents to have...
It's also an important
relationship. Yeah, okay. But Benoit Levinoah, it's not like personal. Benoit Levinoah means a personal nether. Personal. Right? So, okay. But the round is going to deal with Psukim. I'm not asking a kasha. I understand. The Ran says it. It's limited to that. But, how Bishlama Fitzino Nefesh, so you can have easily a case of Naira Marosa, Viva Bailam, if you're in a Dorel. But what about if she makes a ned there that's only Beinola Vein Ha'orus? So could the Orus be made for a loan? Doesn't have a shutuf in the nether. It's only been other. She made a nether. She's not gonna make him cook with chip cookies anymore.
That would actually support the other argument that we learned the other night that says maybe they should each be able to be mayfair by themselves, right, depending on who it affects.
What is the din? I don't know. I'm not even sure. I mean, I am sure, but I'm not sure why. I'm sure the Urus can't be made for himself because we have that rule many times. We already, the Ran alluded to it. There's almost an unspoken rule sort of overriding the whole two prokim, 10th and 11th, that the Oros will never be made for himself. He's always an adjunct to the father. Okay, now we're saying that you might think that so let's see the Rambam. So the Rambam says, just like a Baal is not made fair, only if it's Benoi Leveino and Inui Nefesh, Hachanami Oveinu made for Benedoi Bitoi. It's a hekesh. Al kochan atomakesh was of the baal. My baal in the mayfield of the dorm shabinoi the vino, but now the dorm shabinoi the vino, but now the dorm shabinoi the vino. The Garcin Nami Biushalmi, Honendiv Hoshvos Isolanois Nofesh, Shoy Yikimenu, Shoy Yferenu, Ali Aladom Shesh Memory Nefesh, Dorsham Noilavino Minayan, Benishla Ishtoi, Ad Kadoi Babal, but of Minayan, my Bal and my fellow Dom Shesh Memory Nefesh, Dorsham Noilavino, above an amazing of Dom Shesh Memory Nefesh, Noilavino. Possessuloika Divre Harambam Sal, Shakosov Shol Mayfair called Nidre Vito. Now we have a whole slew of fakers that just popped up. What about if she's Urasa and she made a ned there? And that's the classic.
Everything?
Any ned there. Across the board. So what about if she becomes an Arusa? And she made a ned there that's not relevant to anything. So he could be Mayfair, but he was a Mayfair and she became an Arusa. Could he be Mayfair now? Maybe he never got a shutuf. In such a nether, he never got a shutuf. Okay, we'll stop here, please. Give me tomorrow. Believe nothing.